Hello, everyone. Welcome to Office Hours. I got something weird going on with my hair here. Of course, that's nothing new. Let me know if you can hear me tonight. I think I've got my mic hooked up. Yes, excellent. Actually, I'm still learning how to use all this cool technology stuff. So, a few housekeeping things really quick before we get started. Don't Stop Believing, Y'all is open for business. I'm still seeing posts in the Facebook group, which is so cool, of people who ran it last year and had success. Lisa Gray, who I talked about on my live last Saturday, who started hoping she could do 15 minutes holding on to the rails of a treadmill and ended up doing 5K. She posted in the group, and I was so proud of her, y'all. She's like super inspirational. We've opened the group. Jill Angie is actually doing a Q&A tonight, which we will record and do a watch party for in, probably next week. And so there's still time for you guys to sign up. And you should, because it's amazing. I mean, seriously, my favorite event of the year. And I've told y'all that, I don't know how many times now. It just really is. It's just such a cool event. So, regardless of your fitness level, you can still come and do this race and get coached. And there's a two-day attached to it. And we've had some rave reviews on Corinne's two-day coaching as well. So think about it. June 1st, weekend of June 1st. All right, now we'll get started. I see two people with hands raised. Oh, let me see what's in the chat real quick. Melanie has signed up. Cool. All right, everybody can hear me. Good deal. All righty. Four people have their hands raised. This is so exciting. Time to close the... Okay. Getting my act together. Here we are. All right. Looks like you're first, Kelly.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you. This is my first coaching session. So.
Oh, yay.
Having me.
I think it's so cool when people come in for the first time. I really do.
Yeah. Well, I've been having this question kind of mull around in my mind for a little bit and tried typing it out a few times and never could really verbalize it. So I thought, what the heck? I'll just give it a shot and see what you think. So January baby.
Cool.
But I started a little bit earlier in December because a friend of mine had introduced it to me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And everything is going super well.
Great.
To the point where, I guess I'm still waiting for that other foot or that other shoe to drop.
Oh, that feels good, right? Let's just, wait for the other shoe to drop because it's coming, right?
I know, exactly. And I still was attending Weight Watchers meetings with my sister just for support for her, even though I had stopped tracking and was still losing weight. So interestingly enough, I sort of got kicked out of Weight Watchers last week, meaning I'm losing weight too quickly. So I needed to get a doctor's note.
And oh, that's funny.
I know.
Don't lose weight too quickly because then, you won't need them anymore.
That's what I was wondering. So I guess I'm just wondering, do other women or some people feel, I just caught on really quickly. I've been going to the gym and I love running and I used to eat healthy. So switching back into that mentality was a little bit easier for me. But I guess I just want to be, in the know, is there such a thing as, starting off a little too strong and then maybe later down the line, wishing that I would have slowed everything down.
No. If you are nailing your basics, then you're doing just fine. If you feel like you've got the hunger scale in, you're doing all your planning, you've got all that taken care of, then you're just cooking with hot grease the way I see it. Now, not to say the other shoe is going to drop, okay?
Right.
But you may level out. You know,
right.
you you know, you may slow down a little bit. And that's perfectly normal. You may end up with, because you've had some pretty good weight loss, how much have you lost?
33 pounds.
In how many?
Since December 7th.
Okay. Wow. So, that's great.
But you okay. know, I used
so that's about
to,
2 pounds a week, right?
Well, technically 3.5, which puts me in the Weight Watchers, like, you know,
danger zone.
You know, and so, and I did put out a phone call to my doctor just to touch base, mm-hmm. but you know, he's part of the reason I am losing weight, because my last mm-hmm. doctor's visit, you know, mm-hmm. we kind of had one of the hard talks. But so, you know, I don't know, I guess, this is the first time I pretty much eat whatever I want. Right. I mean, not whatever I want, but you know, full fat dressings and real sour right. cream. And I just have, you know, it's just different than anything I've experienced.
Isn't it amazing how much your body loves those good fats?
Yeah.
I swear if I, you know, if I just increase those good fats a little bit, my body right. just feels so good.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, and I guess the last part of this question would be, I'm not planning for exceptions. And so I know I maybe should try doing that.
Yes.
Like once a week, maybe that yes. would be the next step.
Yeah. Why are you not planning for exceptions?
Probably a little bit of the fear of, once I eat something, then I'll get off track and have a hard time getting back on.
Okay. Do you think you will?
But also because, well, if I were to look in the past, I would say, yes, I would. Mm. But I'm trying to sort of look forward. And so maybe that would be good practice too.
Yeah, the real test of your resolve is to have the exception, to eat it to your two, and then to get back on plan the next day. If you okay. do that successfully, you're gold.
Okay.
Okay. But that's part of the program, because you're not going to go the rest of your life without eating an exception. So right. why not do it right now while you have all this support around you? Right.
Right. Right.
So, you know, the worst that can happen is you have an exception and you don't have a perfect next day, right? Because yeah. I think what's probably happened with you, if you've had about 10 weeks of perfect days, right?
Yeah. I have had a few exceptions, but they were not planned.
Uh-huh.
So like I had a chocolate donut yesterday and it was considered an overeat, but that I'm more comfortable with, I think, than the actual planning the exception.
Oh, that's interesting. Why is that?
Yeah.
Why are you okay with the mistake, but not the plan?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm just so used to, when you're setting a plan, to set yourself up for optimal mm-hmm. success. So it just feels really weird to put a chocolate donut on my plan
if that is setting you up for optimal success, mm-hmm. to actually plan a donut?
It could be.
It absolutely is. Because what you're doing is you're telling yourself it's okay to plan and eat a donut, because you're not going to overeat it, and because your next food decision is going to be right back on plan.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, you're going to have a birthday at some point and probably want a piece of birthday cake.
Right.
Right? Or your, you know, kid or husband or mother or somebody, you're going to be at a birthday party and think, sure would like to have a piece of birthday cake.
Exactly.
And it feels a whole lot better to eat the birthday cake when it's planned than it does to have to do a recovery worksheet because you overate or ate off plan.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And the other thing too, I've learned, is my exceptions are pretty spontaneous. So they're like, the chocolate donut was brought over. We made dinner for my brother and they brought over donuts from Costco. So I'm noticing a lot of the bad foods are the ones that are super spontaneous. So, cause when I go grocery shopping, we haven't been buying that kind of stuff and, have just sort of rid our house of anything tempting, but,
Well, that's okay. That's just called constraint. That's just how you manage your house, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I'd watch the spontaneous exceptions. You know, have you come across any that have been spontaneous where you've said no, thank you, or have you always given in?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I have. Yeah.
Good.
It's almost like I do a little replan in my head, like with the chocolate donut. My brain said, well, you know, you've been wanting to plan an exception, so you could just add this to your plan real quick. Or, just to kind of do it a little mental game with it, I think. But for the most part, you know.
That's called a justification.
Right. Yeah.
Right? Did you listen to that part of No BS?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So those things are gonna, go ahead. Okay.
Well, I just was going to, you know, so I shouldn't be worried if I'm getting kicked off of Weight Watchers for losing weight too quickly. And maybe it's okay to start planning the exception once a week or so is actually setting me up for success long term.
It absolutely is. Absolutely. And don't freak out if your weight loss slows down, because it's probably going to. You're probably just releasing a lot of inflammation and fluid buildup and whatnot.
Right.
And if you're exercising at the same time, you're building muscle. Right. So
Well, I used to be a runner and I've got back into that slowly since September, and now I'm running 2 miles a day.
Nice.
Or, you know, and so that's the other part about Weight Watchers that's annoying, you know, because who's to say what's normal for me isn't normal for somebody else. So,
right.
But anyway.
Well, okay. That's exactly right. Hey, if you're a runner, you need to sign up for the race. You need to come
to the race. Well, I know, but I live in Oregon and I'm a teacher and I checked the schedule and it didn't quite work for me this year. But I was thinking, is there a way to join so that you can do the training with everybody?
No, not really right now. Now, what you can do though, is you can go ahead and do your own race at home on June 1st and post your pictures, because we'll be posting all over Facebook.
Okay.
Post your pictures, you know, and say, you know, I did it with the team, only I'm in Oregon.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you so much.
All right. See ya.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. Okay. Melissa, it's your turn.
Hi.
Oh, you're already unmuted. That's awesome. Hi.
I saw I was muted, so I clicked it. I didn't know if that was my job.
No. Yeah, that's absolutely perfect. How are you doing?
Okay. I'm good. I also am a teacher. I live in Canada, and we get a year off for maternity leave. And my daughter turns one on Tuesday, so I'm about to go back to work.
Wow, a year off for maternity leave.
Yeah. So
that's pretty. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, you guys need to get on that.
We also need to get on the free education and healthcare too.
I mean, there's room in my basement if you want to. Want to move up.
It's cold in Canada, though.
And it's cold in the States, too. I've been watching the news.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. So I found the tribe in April. Since my daughter was born, I've lost 80 pounds.
Wow.
Most of that up until September, and then I've kind of slowed down. I posted about that. I stopped breastfeeding, and I'm just kind of been finding my new hunger scale and all of that. Anyway, I lost the baby weight with my son when he was born, and I went back to work, and then I gained a whole ton of weight. I gained about these 80 pounds that I've lost when I was back at work the first time. And so now I'm going back on Tuesday, and I'm experiencing a lot of fear and anxiety about, can I take what I've been doing while I'm off? Mm-hmm. Like my job is being at home with the baby. So I have all the time for planning and cooking and all of that. I'm just experiencing a lot of fear about now working full time, and still being able to do all the right things and not get myself back in a bad situation. I was reading Atomic Habits yesterday. And there was that chapter about cues in the environment and the people who go to Vietnam and are addicted to heroin, and then they move back home and they're not in the same environment anymore, so they don't need to take heroin. I feel like I'm going back to Vietnam.
Oh, no. A terrible thought. No. Oh, my goodness. Stop thinking that one right now.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you say that, because I've been listening to Atomic Habits in the car, and I just listened to that chapter this morning. So that's so funny. So you know what to be ready for. You know what cues triggered you to eat when you were at school, right? If you think about that. So now you have to figure out how you're going to handle those cues when you go back to work.
Yeah, I've already planned a new route to work. Okay. My son's
perfect.
Doesn't go to daycare. And so I used to drive by a coffee place and get sweet, like a cappuccino and donut mm-hmm. every day. I'm not driving that way this time, so I'll be mm-hmm. able to avoid that.
Perfect.
There's things like that that I've kind of been proactive about, but I'm worried about stress management, I think, more than anything.
Okay. Are you stressed at home at all? Does anything stress you out at home?
Yes.
Okay. How do you handle stress at home?
Well, I mean, I do P&P stuff. I sleep and I TDL and all of that, but I have a lot of time at home. That's my stumbling block mentally right now.
That's going to be the stumbling block. You know, you're going to have a planning period, right? You're going to have lunch. Are you going to be with kids the entire time you're at school, or will you have any time to yourself at all?
No, I will definitely, I'm planning to have an hour and a half before work.
Okay.
And then I get a planning period 4 out of 6 days. Okay. So I will have some time.
Okay.
And lunch.
So put your journal in your purse and have it at the ready, right? When the kids are, at what grade do you teach?
9.
Okay. 9 years old or 9th grade?
No, 9th grade.
9th grade. Okay. Yeah. So do they ever watch like a film or a movie about something?
Sometimes.
Okay.
I'm an English teacher, so we do reading periods on Fridays.
Right. So there's some journaling time, right? When the kids are reading.
Yeah.
Right. I think if you put your brain to work, you can figure out little snippets of time during your day where you can journal or do whatever it is you do in order to manage your stress. Whether it's, you know, meditate, for instance. You can meditate at your desk for 2 minutes while the kids are, you know, in the bathroom line or whatever they're, I don't know, whatever they're doing, right? While they're changing classes, you know, whatever it is that, if you put your brain to work, you can find pockets of time where you can insert things that'll help you manage your stress. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then you just have to rearrange a little bit when you do your food prep. It'll probably be on the weekends now. I don't know when you're doing it. Are you doing it on the weekends now or are you doing it?
No, I'm doing it more like every day I'm cooking. I haven't done really batch cooking in a long time.
Okay. So are you going to do some batch cooking?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead and decide when you're
intermittent fasting. So I'm skipping breakfast altogether. There's a little bit of time I'm reclaiming for myself.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, it's funny. Kelly a minute ago was talking about looking to her past, you know, being worried because she's afraid she's going to revisit the past when this is what you're doing too. You're thinking about the before you had the baby, before you lost the weight and how you reacted to stress, before you joined PMP, before you read Atomic Habits, before you did all these things, mm-hmm. you're thinking about how the past is going to repeat itself, where in fact, in the past year, look at what you've done. Look how much you've grown. You know, you've lost 80 pounds. You've had a baby. You've probably read more books than Atomic Habits, right? You've done all these thought downloads. You've probably, you know, do you do models? You've done all this work, so you're so much further ahead of yourself than you were a year ago or 18 months ago or whenever it is you put on the 80 pounds, right? Mm-hmm. So the past, all it does is teach you how to handle tomorrow, okay? It shows you what you've done in the past, but it also shows you what you can level up. So don't go back a whole year or 18 months and think, I'm going to repeat that, because what you're doing is you're negating all that growth you had in between. You've just decided that that doesn't count.
Right.
Right. So what I would do if I were you is I would plan, you know, you're probably planning your food every day, right? Mm-hmm. I'd plan my day and I would go ahead and schedule in the times that you can manage stress, manage, you know, with your thought downloads, with your meditation, with your journaling, with whatever it is, however it is you're managing stress now, I'd go ahead and make sure I knew when I was going to be able to do those things during my day. And it might be before work. It might be as soon as you get home. It might be lunchtime, whatever it is for you. I think that's what I'd do.
Yeah. I think that that's one of the best things about what I've learned in PAP is like just putting my mind to my life and like planning
So I think I am better equipped to handle, because it's not just P&P stuff I have to fit in. It's all the planning and the marketing and the teaching and the work.
Sure, right.
But I feel like I'm so much better at all of that, all of the using my brain to kind of divide up everything. So right. I think I just needed a pep talk. I waited for your off.
Oh, well, thank you. I just don't want you to forget all the growth you've had.
Yeah.
You know, you have so many more tools now than you did.
Yeah.
So use them. Figure out how you can use them. In fact, you know, it might be a fun exercise for you to write down all the things you've learned in the past, I don't know, pick a time period, you know, since you got pregnant with this last baby. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what is that? 9 + 12 is 21 months.
Yeah.
Everything you've learned in the past 21 months, and then pick one thing you can do with each one of those tools as you go back to school. You know, it's going to be things like planning or cues or habits or hunger scale or fasting or, you know, all these things that you've learned.
Yeah.
And then figure out how you can use that new tool as you go back to school.
Okay.
I'll do that. Make sense?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
You're going to be great. You've lost 80 pounds. Dang. Huh?
I'm looking forward to going back. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Well, enjoy. Enjoy those kids. It sounds like you like it. You like teaching?
I do. Yeah, I do. And I'm not domestic. So being at home for a year, I'm just noticing all the stuff that's not getting done when it's entirely my job. So now I get to give half of it back to my husband again, because we're both working outside of the home.
That is a bonus. I hear my husband downstairs right now doing dishes, and I love that sound. All right. Take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. Who's next? Robin, you are up.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Sure. I'm doing fine.
Are you staying warm up there in
Michigan? Yeah, I was going to say, trying to stay warm and dry. We thought we were having a mild winter, and then the end of January happened.
Yeah. We've had a lot of rain this winter. It's been a little cold, but nothing like you guys have had.
When you get the rain, we get the snow. So
yeah. Thank goodness you can have it.
One part I hate about living up here, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed that with my new job, I don't have a stupid commute anymore. So it's a lot.
Oh, wow.
And I have the option, if the weather's really bad, I can work from home. So
well, that's good news.
Yeah, so a little bit more flexibility, and it's nice.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's going on with you?
So basically, I don't know if you read into my thread on the tribe, but, you know, I've been kicking the same 5 pounds around, up and down forever and a day, it feels like. About it. Oh, my. Year. And it just got to the point the other day where, so my new coworkers love their food. There's food all over the flipping place. I mean,
everybody
it's
loves
like
food.
I never had this problem before, because, you know, there's food here and there, but we're in a more open environment, and everybody has popcorn and chips and this and that. And oh my God, I'm surprised these guys aren't 500 pounds a piece, mm-hmm. you know, with all the food they eat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's like, okay, fine, I'll put it in my plan or whatever. And I guess what it boils down to is like, I'll write out my plan. I'll write a realistic plan and do it. Okay. Everything's going great for a couple weeks and the scale doesn't move.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just like, screw it. Why am I writing a plan? Mm-hmm. And the scale still doesn't move, you know, or sometimes it moves up and sometimes it moves down. It doesn't go anywhere. And the other day someone brought in donuts and someone brought Girl Scout cookies in. And I think that's all I ate the whole entire day, because I felt so disgusting. I couldn't eat anything else. Mm-hmm. And, it was just, you know, my brain goes to the normal bullshit, you know, okay, well, maybe I need to be more restrictive. I've got to, you know, watch what I'm eating, and maybe I need to look at my calories, or maybe I need to look at macros or something to get to figure this out, because I'm like not, it's like I've got these goals and I think I have, you know, compelling reasons, but they go right out the door in 2 seconds, the second any shit shows up. And so it's like I was saying, I mean, I just feel like I'm not sitting in my dirty diaper. I'm wading through a pile of, you know, I need my waiters.
Are you following your hunger scale, Robin?
I'm sorry?
Are you following your hunger scale?
I do pretty good some days and other days. I don't say I blow it out of the water, but I definitely go over.
Are you waiting until -2 to eat?
In most cases, yes.
That sounds like maintenance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The minus isn't as much of a problem as the pluses.
Okay.
You know, I've tried the strategies of, okay, I take half my food and I'm not going to eat this. And what happens, and Corinne actually commented, is that this, like, I'll eat like say one taco instead of two. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, okay, I'm fine. I don't need any more food. And all of a sudden the chatter just, it like literally, mm-hmm. it's like, it just takes off and starts going crazy. Like, wait a second. Why are you stopping? You need to eat more food. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't enough. Are you crazy? You can't just have a quarter of a sandwich or half a taco or whatever and be satisfied. You need to go eat more food. And it's like, sometimes I'm successful at shutting it up. And other times I'm like, okay, maybe I need a couple more bites. And then I'm over my two and then I'm pissed. So yeah, I mean, we know it only takes a couple hundred calories a day to stay in maintenance. It doesn't take much. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like trying to create that deficit, you know, eating less food, where does it leave me and how much food am I eating? And, you know, it's just, I just feel like I just keep going in these circles.
And what you do is you get on a call or you buy some coaching or something and you look for us to solve it for you when you know how to solve it. And that's to stop answering the chatter, right? Because you know up here where your +2 is and you know where your -2 is, but you give in to the chatter. You just let the chatter rule. You give in to that, you know, that yakety yak that's going on in your head, mm-hmm. and, you know, to shut it up, you eat and then mm-hmm. you maintain. I mean, that's right. That's what you do. It's your MO, Robin.
So right? I guess I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah. So how do you not give in to the chatter? Just think.
That's where it sounds easy on paper. I know what to do. I know I have to sit through the discomfort. I know all of this.
You've lost a bunch of weight. Hmm? How did you lose all that weight? How much weight have you lost overall? It's like 90. 80 pounds or something, huh?
90
pounds. Okay. So how'd you do that?
I just didn't overeat.
Right.
I was for a while, you know, before Corinne came out with the recovery sheets and everything, mm-hmm. I just remember every time I had an overeat, I was TDLing.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing that now?
No.
Okay. So, okay, we're back to planning and journaling and hunger scale, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like the basics. It's just getting back and getting serious about the basics. And you, it's so funny because you know this. You could teach this. Right?
I could, but it's this is the problem. I know it. This part of my brain, the prefrontal cortex, knows all this crap. It's the back, the evil little part.
You know, there's nothing evil about it. It's just, brain. It's just the habits. That's mm-hmm. all it is. It's just the habits. Have you read Atomic Habits?
I have it on audio. I've started it.
Okay. So interesting the way he explains habits. It's just fascinating. And we were talking about this on the last call or two. I don't remember now, whichever one it was. about how the habits, when I was listening today, he talked about how the habits never go away. You just learn to manage the cues. Okay. So for you, a cue might be a donut hits the kitchen. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the habit is I'm going to eat the donut, you know, chatter, 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 chatter until I eat the donut. Well, how do you manage that cue? You either stay out of the kitchen or, you know, you walk the other way or you figure out how to manage the cue. Mm-hmm. Or how to eliminate the queue. You drive a different way to work. If you always drive to work and you stop at Starbucks for a donut, then you drive a different way to work. Because the habits will always be in there. They won't be as strong. It's just like, you know, we used to talk about the primal brain. It's always going to chatter. It's just not going to be as loud. The more
I think that's what I was referring to is that it's that I think I still just want it to go away.
Yeah, it's not going to.
And it's not going to go away. And I feel like as I get close to, it seems like because I'm so close to that 100-pound mark and that Wonderland mark, it's almost like something in me doesn't want me to go there.
And no, that's not true. That's not true. So Ken just got home a little while ago. He went to yoga. Mm-hmm. And before I got on this call, I made dinner and I put his in the fridge and I ate my dinner. And so I had planned some spaghetti and a piece of dark chocolate. Okay. And we have a candy dish downstairs. And while I was down there eating my dinner, I had my piece of chocolate. I looked at that candy dish and I said, if I eat more candy, he'll never know. Okay. That's the chatter in my head. That's been going on since I was like 9 years old.
Yeah.
What, you know, nobody's here. What can I eat? Right.
That sounds like my conversations.
A little bit of this, a little bit of this. Nobody will ever know. Right. But that doesn't, you know, the chatter is still there. I just don't act on it. I'm just like, yeah, no, I'll know. You know, I want to wear these jeans tomorrow. You know, I want to fit in my pants. I want to, you know, I don't want to gain my weight back.
Yeah.
So that's the conversation that I have. Your conversation is, have some more chocolate, Robin. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I might
have some more chocolate, Robin. I don't want more chocolate. I want to hit the Century Club.
Yep.
Have some more chocolate, Robin. I don't want more chocolate. I want to hit the Century Club. Have some more chocolate, Robin. I want Wonderland. Shut up. You know?
But usually what happens is by about the second or third one, it's like, okay, I'll have one piece.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the floodgates open.
Yeah.
And I think I mean, it's that saying no, and I get frustrated because I feel like, you know, I'm trying to lose more weight so I can run and then I injured myself and then I'm beating myself up about that, you know, so it's like this big snowball. Mm-hmm.
That's what you're good at. You're good at being tough on yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're good. You need to stop that too. This is really good coaching, right? Just stop that, Robin.
Everyone's like, wait, why is she just telling her to stop?
Because really that's what it boils down to, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we just did a podcast on acting as if, okay? It was so good. We did it yesterday and it's going to release, I think on the 27th, 28th. I don't know, three weeks. So what you do is you decide who the person is that you want to be. Okay. And let's say it's 180-pound Robin who does a 45-minute 5K. All right. Let's say that's who you want to be, which is pretend. How does she act? What does she do? What does she eat? How does she answer chatter? How does she exercise? How does she recover from exercise? Okay. You write all that stuff down and you start doing those things because you're acting as if you already are 180-pound Robin who does a 45-minute 5K.
So it's kind of like your future self.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit more specific.
But it's action oriented.
Okay.
So you can pick that super duper future self that's, you know, 150 pounds and, you know, a sub-3-hour half marathon, or you can level in. You can pick the 180-pound Robin who's, you know, the 45-minute 5K or
so, like you're like whatever. Breaking it into smaller goals type
thing. Yeah. Yeah. You can do it however feels good to you, whatever feels actionable to you. But you really create those action steps, because if you think about the model, and I know you know the model, actions create results, right? That's the line right above the result line is the action line. So if you decide what you want your result to be, and then you figure out what actions create that result, or who that person is, and how they act, then guess what falls right into line? The thoughts and the feelings, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So basically creating these smaller goals.
So how does 180-pound Robin answer chatter?
She doesn't. She answers it and tells it, like you said, doesn't. Mm-hmm. Lets it talk, but then tells it to go away.
Yeah. She doesn't give in with one and then Katie bar the door, right?
Right.
That's That's what you're going to have to do. And then when you start seeing those successes, I bet you stop beating yourself up so much. That's when you start telling yourself what a great job you're doing. Okay? So you act as if.
Yelling all this crap.
Yes. How else are you going to reinforce it?
I think I hide from myself. That's why I don't write this shit down.
Yes. Yes, probably. Because, some of your TDLs are kind of nasty to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that's just a negative cycle that you find yourself in. You know, you get nasty with yourself. So you feel bad about yourself. You do ugly things. You don't get great results. And it's just that cycle for you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's break that cycle and act as if that next level person, you know, that you want to create, that you know you're going to be, how does she act? And then see those successes and decide, you know what, let's celebrate those and not focus so much on the overeats and the mistakes and celebrate what we're doing right. Because we're going to do some stuff right here. How about that?
Okay. And you said that podcast comes out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. It's number 99. And I think released 96 was the one that released last week, right?
Yep. 96 released.
Okay.
Friday. Yep.
Okay. So I just gave you the Reader's Digest condensed version of 99. That means you start to work on it now. You don't wait until 99 comes out.
Right. Of course. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, the smaller goals, I think that's when I think of that big one, it's like, okay, this is awesome. But then, and I break it down, but then when I'm not hitting it every month, like my goal this year is to lose my last 60 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's getting down to 160. I'm roughly a little over 220 right now. Mm-hmm. But it's about 5 pounds a month. I'm like, okay, cool, I can do this. And I'm seeing this like end of January. Well, okay, great. We didn't lose anything in January. Now what? Now I've got even more weight I've got to lose. So maybe breaking it into those smaller, because I think when I do those big ones, I put a ton of pressure on myself. And then that's when, you're going to lose 60 pounds in a year. Sure you are. You can't even lose 10 pounds in a year.
Well, that's a nice way to talk to yourself too, right?
Right. I'm just saying that's the chatter.
How much of that weight do you think you could lose if you gave in to chatter half the time that you do now?
Probably quite a bit of it. I'd probably be in Wonderland by now.
Yeah.
You know? And that was my goal by camp, was to be in Wonderland by mid-April. Was to be at Wonderland / 100 pounds, because they're both roughly right about the same.
Okay. So we're 2 months out.
Yep. That's 20 some odd pounds. So, I mean, it's still a doable goal, I'm sure. It's you know, that would probably be a good what if.
10 pounds by April. How about 10 pounds by camp?
That's doable. Mm-hmm. And I could do that. Okay.
And I want you to track the times that you don't give in to the chatter.
So tracking the urges.
Track your unanswered urges. I bet you can have 50 of them by camp.
Probably 50 in a day. But
all right, so then do this, Miss 50 in a day. When you hit 100, post in the Facebook group and tag me.
Okay.
And say, I started on February 12th and I've hit 100 unanswered urges. And everybody on this call, there are 96 people on this call, and there will be more in the Facebook group. So you now have 96, I mean, not in the Facebook group, in the podcast, you now have at least 96 people who are going to be watching for this 100 unanswered urges.
Basically, when I hit 100 answered urges, unanswered urges,
yep.
Post it.
Yep.
That's a challenge. I said, oh, you're challenging me. I usually
rise up. You've got it in you.
Those.
I know you do.
Yeah, I'll have my Marco Polo girls keep me. Some of them are on here.
And Sarah just said this was a great idea. So,
yep, Sherry's right there. Yep. She's my accountability partner. I'll do it with you.
There you go.
There, so
everybody join in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now her and I are kind of in the same. We have similar things going on, so I think we could definitely work with each other on this. And, you know, like I said, I've got a couple groups that were pretty, you know, tight on this kind of stuff. So
good.
Yeah.
All right. You got your marching orders.
Got my marching orders.
Yeah. Right. And I don't know who Wendy M is, but she's holding you to it too.
Oh, that's Wendy Miller. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Is that you, Wendy? She's in one of my groups too. Mm-hmm. Yep. I actually see her in, yep, I see her in 2 weeks, so
yep.
She'll probably come up to me if I'm grab-assing at our a little meetup, I'll be hearing about it.
Good.
So, awesome.
All right, you got your all marching right. orders.
All right, thanks.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right, that was fun. Thank you, Robin, that was fun. Tracy, you're up.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello. Hi. Hello. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you. My doctor is, his last name is Peach.
Oh, it's actually a nickname, but a lot of
oh, well, okay. You're not related then, probably.
Not related. I'm a little nervous to talk to you about this, but I okay. also feel that this tribe is a safe zone. So
absolutely.
I'm gonna take the risk tonight.
Okay.
So I'm gonna try not to cry. Sorry.
It's okay. Cry away.
The call that you just did, actually, I wrote some things down because it was very relevant.
Okay.
You know, about habits will never go away. You just need to learn to manage the cues.
Yep.
So just to give you a little bit of background, my husband and I have been married 15 years. And 4 years ago, he had a problem with alcoholism and he got sober. Mm-hmm. And last week he was out of town and I was looking for something in our office and I found empty bottles in his desk.
Okay.
So he's relapsed. And I confronted him on Saturday. And he's moved. I asked him to go to a hotel this week because I think we both just need to be apart and figure out what we're going to do. Not that we're going to split up. I'm not angry. I'm concerned and mm-hmm. upset. But I want him to get well. I love him. Mm-hmm. But he needs to do that himself. I can't force him to do it. Right. So that's why I wanted him to take some time alone. And now today I'm I'm kind of moved into the anger stage, which paid off because I just walked 1.75 miles at the gym really fast. But I guess I'm trying to understand, you've shared so many great tools with us in PMP, and I've only been a member since January, and I only discovered PMP at Christmas time, mm-hmm. and you've already made such a positive impact on my life. I'm happier. I'm taking action. Mm-hmm. I'm not just sitting around moping all the time. And actually the last couple days, I feel like my plan has kind of been my savior, because it's the one thing in my life right now I can control. Mm-hmm. So I guess I just want to know, is there anything that you tell me that I could do to help him? Right now he's very much sitting in his dirty diaper. And I did post in the tribe, you know, I shared the thought downloads and the model with him, and he's been doing TDLs the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. But I can tell he's still sitting in the muck. And I just want to help him so badly, and I don't know what else to do. And I have an appointment on Thursday to see the therapist that helped me through all of this the last time. But today's been a particularly hard day, because he has appointments to be assessed at rehab mm-hmm. centers this week, but he has a business trip next week, and he's still planning to go on his business trip. And I'm like, how can you put business before this? Like, this is before him getting sober, before our marriage. Like, I think he should just go to rehab and tell his boss, I'm sorry, I can't make this trip, and I don't know when I'm going to be able to do another trip. But just because I want him to do it, I can't make him do it. So I think I'm dealing with a little bit of the anger and the hurt over that as well. Mm-hmm.
So you said something before we get too much further into this, you said something that I thought was really interesting. You said your plan was the only thing you can control.
Yes.
And that's not true. Okay. You control what you eat. You control how you react. You control what you think. You control how you feel. You control what you say to him. Yep. You control what you say to yourself. You control an awful lot of things in your world right now. Okay. It feels out of control to you because you can't control him. Okay. That's his job. And whether, you know, the unfortunate part of that is, it doesn't matter if you agree with his decisions or not, they're still his decisions. Unless he is 100% incapacitated, they're his decisions to make.
Yes.
Right? And that's where your tears and disappointment and anger come from, is that you're not agreeing with his decisions.
Yes.
That's right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So just understand that that's the painful point for you right now, is that you are in disagreement with how he should live his life, the decisions that he's making right now, you know, today, next week, business trip, you know, drinking, whatever. You're not agreeing with the decisions that he's making.
Yes.
Okay. And that's the pain point. So let me ask you this. If you could set aside that, disagreeing with his decisions, how would you feel?
I just want him to get well. That is my number one priority right now.
Okay. And what can you do to get him well?
I think just be supportive. And I've already told him that, you know, I can pay the bills with my salary. If he loses his job, I'm okay with that, because his health is more important to me than his paycheck. And I want him to take the time he needs to heal. Mm-hmm. And I love our life together, and I want to remain married to him. And I've told him this, but he needs to be sober in order for that to happen.
Okay. So what you're doing is you're setting a boundary with him. You're telling him what your expectation is.
Yes.
You're showing him love and you're showing him support. What's going to happen if he crosses this boundary or he doesn't honor the boundary?
I'm going to have to find a lawyer and I'm going to have to take action. And I know I have to do that. I'm just
make sure if you set that boundary that you're prepared to enforce it.
Yeah.
Okay. I am. And a boundary is set when you are emotionally or physically harmed. Okay. So if this is for you emotional harm, then it's appropriate to set a boundary. Okay. Love and acceptance are very important right now. Okay. Communication is very important. Beyond that, you know, he's teaching him what you know is good. That doesn't mean he has to accept it or do it.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
So how do you show up tomorrow? Tell me what your day tomorrow is going to look like.
Well, tomorrow's my first day back in the office since this happened. I took yesterday off and today I work from home. Mm-hmm. But I have a pretty full calendar tomorrow. So I think it'll be good to keep me occupied. And I recently joined the local athletic center here at our high school. So I've been going every day and walking, and that's actually helped quite a bit. And I listen to you and Corinne and the tribe as I'm walking. Mm-hmm. So always a good use of time.
Are you journaling?
Some, probably not as much as I should.
I think you should journal. You should thought download every day, whatever's on your mind. And a lot of it's going to be about him, and that's okay. But then I want you to go back and read your journal entries and make sure you can pull facts out of them. Make sure you know the difference between a thought and a fact.
Sure.
Okay. So you could have this big long thought download about his drinking and just make sure you understand how much of that is thoughts and how much is facts. You know the difference, right?
Yes.
Okay. A fact is just basically a noun, right? No adjectives, no modifiers, no actions, no nothing. You know, a fact would be, I found an empty bottle of whatever yesterday. That's a fact. Okay, something that happened in the past. As long as it's not, I found a, I don't know. I can't even think of a thought about about that. A thought would be, he drank a whole bottle. Well, maybe he did, but maybe he didn't. Maybe he shared it with someone. Maybe somebody left it there. I don't know, whatever. Okay. Unless you actually saw him drink a whole bottle. So be careful. The reason you want to separate thoughts out from facts is because that helps you keep your thoughts streamlined, and it helps you from creating a big story around what's going on.
Yep.
It helps keep you centered and controlled. Okay. So do a lot of journaling through this. Make sure you know how you want to show up. Make sure you know what result you want to create for yourself. Okay. And if it's loving him through this, then figure out what actions need to happen for you to love him through this. Okay.
Thank you.
Does that help at all?
It does. I'm also trying to figure out where to draw that line for tough love, you know, because I want to hold him accountable and I don't want to make it easy for him not to get well. But I also know I can't make him do anything. So just trying to keep my emotions in check and be supportive and do my part to help him get well, right, is what I'm trying to focus on.
Make sure you can live with whatever line you draw. That's the only thing I want you. It's just like a boundary. Okay. If you want to draw a tough love line and you think that's a necessary thing to do, that's fine. Make sure you stand by the line. Okay. Make sure you're ready and prepared to do that. Okay. Emotionally ready. Yeah, no, none of us can tell you what line to draw. That's something that you're going to have to decide if you draw one at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe you just talk to him. You know, where should we draw the line here?
Oh, I haven't thought about
the
approach.
Yeah.
It's a part of... I mean, he's already said, you know, I don't want you to leave me. I don't want us to break up. Mm-hmm. And another thing that's also, so I don't want to use that as a, kind of as a weapon, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I have not said that to him, but, you know, that I would leave him because I haven't come to that conclusion yet. But the other thing that's really troubling me is he hasn't told anyone and he refuses to tell his family. And he's
probably ashamed. Let's think about that. Let's just take a hot second here and think about how he's feeling. Okay. If we did his model, what would be in his feelings line? It's probably shame. Mm-hmm. He's probably not proud of the fact that he's relapsed. That's why he hid the bottles from you. Right.
Yes.
And that's what shame does. It puts you into hiding, you know, and that it just spirals in hiding. You know, and it just creates, you know, more opportunity to feel shame. So that's, I mean, think about it from that perspective. He's probably not proud of himself. He's probably not happy about it, any of this. And that's why he hasn't told anyone. That's why I didn't tell you.
Yeah. I'm sure. I know he's ashamed and embarrassed. And I feel too, because I was over 300 pounds when I started PMP, and I kind of feel, I've never had an alcohol problem, but I've had a food problem. So I feel like I can understand to some degree what he's going through, the struggle he's going through. So I'm trying to be understanding of that, but also letting him know that this can't continue.
Yeah. Okay. I think I would talk to him. And y'all set the plan together. Okay. Maybe he needs to go to the therapist with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Good. You know, see how you can join forces on this, because it doesn't sound like he likes where he is.
Yeah.
Which probably means he's ready to figure it out too. Ask him, are you ready to figure this out? I'm here. If you're ready to figure this out, let's do it, because I'm right here with you.
And I think he is. I just think he isn't doing it fast enough for me.
That's where you're going to have to drop your judgment.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you're going to have to give him some grace. If that's what you decide you want to do, if you want to stay with him, you know, and you want to see him through this, it's got to be his plan. It's got to be his. You know, you can push him through a program, and that doesn't mean he's going to change. Just like I could push you through, you know, weight loss, and that doesn't mean you're not going to be back in the back, you know, having M&Ms or something.
Right? I think that's part of what terrifies me, is that I do love him and I'd hate for him to give up on us.
Mm-hmm. Well, show him that you're not giving up on him then. And then let him do his own thought work and make his decisions.
That's what I've been doing all week. So I'll keep doing that. Yeah.
Sounds like you're doing the right thing. Okay. Hard to say though, from here, from my little place. I think you know in your heart and in your mind. What the right thing to do is. I think you just needed a sounding board tonight.
Yeah. yeah, I think you're right. It's all kind of, it's just been a roller coaster of emotions.
Sure. Sure. Okay. All right.
Well, I signed up for the race and I'll meet you in Nashville.
Great. Great. You got about 14 minutes till Jill Angie's on her live.
Yeah. So I'm going to.
Maybe that'll perk you up a little bit.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Well, thank you. And
all right. Keep me posted. Okay.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
All right. See you.
Good night.
Good night. Okay. Angela, you're next.
Hey.
Hey there.
Hey, Ian.
How are you?
I am actually doing better than I've done in like a super, super, super long time. I actually feel amazing.
Why?
What's that, huh?
Spread some of that around, girl.
That accountability, like, you know how you can hear something a million times and then somebody just says it a tiny bit different and it's like, bam. The new accountability program was the way for me. It was definitely a lot already. But that's what I'm calling for, to tell you that I'm doing good. Oh, and I'm losing weight again, finally, after that year stall.
Good.
So, yeah. So, everything's going good. Mine is, just listen to the decision-making podcast.
Okay.
And I have a horrible time making decisions. And so that's what I work on. Okay. That and being able to find some goals for myself after, because I'm 12 pounds to goal.
Okay.
And like, what do I do next? I don't have a clue.
Okay.
So that's what I want to work on.
All right. Why can't you make decisions?
Because I want everybody to make them for me.
Why?
Because I always make the wrong decision. Because, well, I'm not going to say always. That's a lot. I'm very fearful of making wrong decisions.
Okay. Why?
Because I have so much evidence in my past that my decisions are not usually the best for people.
That's a thought.
Well, okay.
Yeah, no, that's a thought.
If I pick a restaurant and then like everybody, like the cheese is bad, the food is bad. Why did you pick this place? This place sucked. You know, then of course, that of course is my fault.
Okay. So that's their opinion.
Yeah. And their opinion matters more than mine.
That's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's why you don't like making decisions, because their opinion matters more than you. Yeah. And you're trying to guess at what their opinion's going to be, and it puts you into a confusion spiral, and you won't make a decision.
Exactly.
I'm raising my hand here. I understand this. I know this. I'm the one who gave in the decision-making podcast. Corinne is like, so, Kathy, why don't people like to make decisions? And I was like, well, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm making all these lists, right? And she's like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know, rather than making Angela happy, you're trying to make everybody else happy. And what happens is you take a guess and they're not happy, and then you take the blame.
Yeah.
And when really and truly and happy.
Myself more than I'll let them blame me. Like, if I just have an inkling that somebody's not happy, I've thrown myself under the bus.
Yeah. So is it your job to make people happy?
I want to make people happy, yes.
Okay. Where does happy fall in the model?
Feeling.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
yes.
Their feelings and
happy. Happy is a feeling. And how is happy, how is a feeling created?
By your thoughts.
Right. So Can Angela create happy in someone else's model?
No.
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 Can Angela create happy in her own model?
Yes.
Yes.
And is doing more of that.
And can Angela put decision-making in her own model? Where would that be? Made a decision. Where would that go?
Result?
No. Probably an action.
Sorry, my cat just went into a brawl.
I heard them.
Okay, so, sorry.
Make a decision is an action.
Yes. Okay, let's see.
Okay. Decisive.
Actions are hard.
Yeah. Actions are not hard. That's a thought. Do I need to get my whiteboard out? So if you're spending all your time trying to make decisions based on what you think everybody else is going to think and feel, that's why you can't make a decision, because you're spinning out in trying to figure out how to make everybody else happy. When in fact, you could either just say, I'm making this decision based on what I want, or you can make the decision based on what you want. And then it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, you either decide you're going to be happy, or you let them make the decision so that they're happy.
Yeah. It sounds easier. It sounds easy in theory.
Uh-huh.
You know?
It is easy.
Yeah.
You're the one making it hard. You're overthinking it.
I so overthink it. Yes.
Yeah.
I so overthink it.
Yeah.
But I definitely, that's something that I want to, I know this is my next step to work on. Like, first was I had to get my self-esteem back, and I've kind of gotten that back.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to my lemons, because they helped me so much. It's my accountability group. They have helped me so much help me see the way they see me. And my self-esteem has just skyrocketed because of their help.
I can hear it in your voice. Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think this is the best I've been in a long time.
I'm glad.
So now we just get the decision-making skills.
Just do it. Just do it. You know, I tell this story sometimes. God. This is Ken and me. We're both high S, which is the stabilizer part of the disc. It's the if you haven't done the disc, what that means is we are the people that are the supporters. Okay, so the D in the disc is the decision maker. The one that's Corinne is a high D, which means, you know, a little bit of information. She's making a decision. She's moving on. If it's wrong, she'll make another decision. You know, if it doesn't work out, it's okay. She's making another decision. The S and the C part are the ones who overanalyze and overthink. And the C just sits there in the data and can't get out. And the S sits there and trying to make everybody else happy. Okay.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah. So Ken and I are both this want to make each other happy couple. So we're in the car, and this happens once a week, probably in the car going, so we're going to go out to eat. Yeah, that's great. Let's go out to eat. Where do you want to go? Well, I don't know. Where do you want to go? Well, I don't want to decide. I decided last time, but I don't want to decide. I'm not hungry for anything. Seriously, this is what we do. This is our conversation. And we'll even get down to, I'll pick three places. You eliminate one, but that's the one I wanted. I mean, it's crazy. We waste so much time in indecision when all it would take is for one of us to say, let's just go to Burger Republic or let's just go eat Mexican.
Yeah.
And then everybody's happy because not only has someone made a decision and that makes us happy, but then one of us got to make the decision and that makes us happy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean, if you sit around and toil over it and you just get upset because you're trying to make everybody happy and nobody's happy and nobody's made a decision, then you make a decision and then you're questioning the decision. What if you just channeled Corinne and said, you know what? this is what we're doing. Everybody better like it, because this is it.
I think you just touched on just now exactly what my main problem is. Even if I do make a decision, I toil over it.
Yeah.
But what if I would have picked this? But what if I would have picked this? But what if I would have said this instead? That would have turned that whole conversation around, and things would, you know, that's the kind of things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can get to a decision, but I completely second guess the whole time.
Yeah. Corinne doesn't. This is something I admire in her. She does not second guess her decisions. If it doesn't work out, she just moves on to the next decision. She doesn't question it. She doesn't beat herself up over it. She doesn't say, well, screwed that up. She just says, well, that didn't work. What's next? Yeah. And that's something I super admire in her. I told her the other day, well, you know what? You know how she got to be that way? Practice.
Well, I
mean, seriously.
Learning R plus two and negative two. It takes a lot of practice.
Yes.
To find your plus two and,
right,
you know when you blow past it, for sure. So I guess
I told her just yesterday that my goal is to make so many decisions, she had to tell me to stop making decisions.
Well, maybe you'll be my decision buddy. Me and you.
Okay. Well, and I have to, since I've you know, decided to leave my job and come here full time and do this full time, I've had to really practice that. And I've had to really practice just biting the bullet and making a decision.
Yeah.
And then
I'm so proud of you.
And then I can't go, I tell myself, you know, what I want to do is go into, you know, texting her or slacking her and saying, okay, this is the decision I just made. That's okay. Right. And I have to stop myself because she doesn't want to hear that either. She doesn't want to validate my decision. She wants me to make a decision, move on, and keep going. Mm-hmm. And that's how we should live our lives, because then we're not toiling. We're not wasting time overthinking. We're not, you know, we're just moving into action. We're getting stuff done and we're creating results. Can you tell I'm doing my own coaching here? But that's what that's really what decision making is all about. It's stopping the pondering and the thinking about and the questioning and creating results.
Yeah. And I guess that would be the same thing with goal setting too. Just find something and just go for it.
Yeah. So what's your next goal going to be? Don't think about it.
I have no idea. Blank vision board. Blank vision board from... Yes, the beginning of the year when we did the vision board. It's still blank.
It's blank.
Blank.
All right. So you have 12 pounds to your weight goal. So there's goal number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else do you dream about? What else do you think about?
I want to be more fit for sure.
Okay. What do you want to do?
I don't know. I just want to be more fit.
All right. Do you want to run? Do you want to swim? Do you want to do yoga? Do you want to do boot camp?
I do boot camp 3 days a week. Love it. Okay. Love my boot camps.
All right. So tell me what boot camp looks like to you. What is it? Is it weights and HIIT and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah. Straight training, that kind of fun. Love.
So what do you curl?
Oh no, we're just doing, we just do strength. We just do body weight training.
Okay. Body weight. Tiny. Okay. So what if you decided you wanted to take weight training class and you wanted to curl 15s?
That would be, I would like to do that if I could find a place to do that. Yeah. I would just have to find.
Do you have a Target? Can you buy 15s at a Target?
Yeah. Target's an hour away.
Do you have Walmart? You have Walmart?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, do you see what I'm saying? You set a goal, then you figure out how you can make the goal. Okay. Right. If you decide your goal is to learn how to weight train, then you don't have a place, you know, where you can go to a class, then you call up a YouTube video and you go buy a weight. You learn how to weight train. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You just open your mind to figuring out what it is. So
yeah.
What I like
how my husband wanted to teach himself how to use a forge and make a knife, and he watched YouTube's videos and he made his own forge and he learned it.
My daughter-in-law's brother taught him taught himself the banjo off of YouTube videos.
Yeah. He literally he made his own forge, and now he's learning how to make knives. He's making keychains. He made me a rose. He made me a rose out of metal.
Cool.
It's beautiful. You know.
So what lights Angela up? So figure out what lights you up. What is it you want? Where do you want to visit? What do you want to do? What do you want to learn how to do?
See, that's where I'm stuck. I've spent, you know, I spent 25 years being a mom, pouring everything into children and work and putting myself on the back burner. They're all grown. They're all gone. They're doing well.
Yeah.
And
I went through this too. I remember this.
And it's just really hard to go, well, what is Angela's passion?
Okay. So this is what you do. You stop telling yourself that's hard. Okay. Yeah. And then you start journaling. What is it I like to do? And you might have to journal for a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever to figure out what it is that lights you up. But that's what you do. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I remember looking at my husband after my second son went to college and say, what is it I like to do again? Because I didn't know. Yeah. I mean, I weighed 230 pounds or more or whatever, you know, whatever it was I was weighing and sitting on the couch and watching TV. And, you know, I think I tried some things. I think I tried to crochet and meh, tried to cross stitch and meh, you know, I had to figure it out. Yeah. I finally figured out though, what it was I liked. I like to hike. I love to be outside. I love to read.
Yeah.
You know, you just, my vision board is over there. You can't see it. It has places I want to visit this year. I want to go to Chicago. Okay. I don't know why I haven't been there in 20 years. Probably. It's probably changed a lot. But, you know, I want to go to, once you start figuring out how to dream, then the dreams just keep coming.
Yeah.
Do you ever listen to the Life Coach School podcast?
I do occasionally.
Okay. Somewhere around 70 or 75 in that range, she has one on dreams and desires. I think that was the first podcast I listened to that actually got me thinking about the fact that I could dream. And by the end of that podcast, I had decided I wanted to go to Rome. That's what I've always wanted to go to Rome. I don't know. I still haven't been, but that's a dream. So listen to that podcast and see if you can see if she says something that triggers your brain to start thinking forward about what you'd like to do and what kind of goals you'd like to have, what your dreams are.
Yeah. Okay.
And get your lemons to help you. Okay.
They are amazing. I love my girls. Love my girls. I do want to say one thing about accountability groups real quick, and then I'll let you go because I know you got other people.
Okay.
Is I know a lot of people, and I know Corinne said this too, and I love Corinne, and I think she's amazing, is finding people who are like you. And, you know, I think what makes our group amazing is that none of us are the same. We've got young mamas, we've got single women, we've got no kids, we've got empty nesters, we've got New Yorkers, we've got me, Southern as you can get.
Yeah.
You know, and we have so many different opinions, we have so many different viewpoints that we can always spin things around differently and say, look at it from this way and look at it from this way. And it has been amazing.
It's a lot of different perspectives, right?
A lot of different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right. Thank you, Lexi.
All right. Take care. Hey,
no tears. This was a great one.
I'm really proud of you. Now, when am I going to see you again? Are you coming to camp?
April camp.
Awesome.
I'm ready.
Awesome. All right. I'll see you in a few weeks then. All right. See you.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. Y'all, there's no hands raised. Who wants to be coached? Who wants to talk to me? I'm going to go over in the Q&A while y'all decide who wants to talk to me. Oops, it's way over here. Beth says she can be supportive, but tell him she won't go down with him. That's great insight. I've been there. We can control ourselves and our reactions. If Tracy takes care of herself, at least she will get well, even if he decides not to. And Angela tells me she had her hand raised. Can she still be on the list? She must have gotten a call. All right, so there's no Q&A. And there are no hands raised. Guys, somebody needs to talk to me tonight. Who else wants to talk? I think this acting as if concept is really, really cool. Don't y'all? That, you know, sometimes you just have to, it's almost like pretending, right? Sometimes it's like putting on a, being Tom Hanks and putting on being a, on in a role, right? You decide, okay, today I want to be a badass writer. I want to be able to write like nobody's business. I want to be understood. I want to be engaged. And then you just put on that hat and you decide, how am I going to do that? What do I need to do? You know, how do I need to feel? And you just go to work. Sonia has her hand raised. Promoting you now, Sonia. Trying to unmute you. Here we go. Hi.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. It's just me.
Okay. I don't know if this is appropriate because I haven't finished my, I haven't gotten through the BS program.
Okay. That's all right.
I am a January baby.
Yeah. Where are you from, Sonia?
Oh, I'm from Sarasota, Florida, which is just south of Tampa.
Okay. I thought I heard an accent, but maybe it's just Florida.
I was raised in England.
Oh, okay.
So that's the accent. Okay. I am just having a problem getting into the program. I started listening to the podcasts and I've done a couple of 24-hour plans and and I've heard other Zoom calls and I think maybe I'm scared it's going to be wrong. So I just don't. Mm-hmm. It was my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday. And,
thank you. Mm-hmm. And, long story short, I ended up going to dinner by myself. I had a lovely steak and a baked potato and I only ate half. Mm-hmm. And then I had the other half for lunch today. And this morning I went to sit down and write my 24-hour plan. And I just feel like I just can't do it. Okay. Or I feel like I'm not going to be able to stick to it. So why even bother writing it? And I know in my mind why, and I don't understand TDLing or anything yet. So.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about TDLing then.
Okay.
Let's just talk about planning. Why won't you write a plan?
I snack a lot during work. It's not really a stressful environment, but I just like to keep, I just keep putting food in my mouth. I don't do it as much. I don't do it at all at home. You know, Saturday and Sunday, I'll have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But when I'm at work, like I'll have breakfast and then I'll have, I've been buying the smaller portions of like, you know, Goldfish or a yogurt or something. And I'll start eating and I feel like I'm just, and I know I'm not hungry, but I'm compelled to eat. Does that make sense?
Okay. Well, let's stick with the plan. And tell me what you ate today. Okay, so what did you have for breakfast?
And one of those sandwich rounds and a fried egg.
Okay. And is that your normal breakfast?
Okay. Or a couple of boiled eggs that okay. I'll take to work if I'm running late.
All right. And what did you have for lunch?
I had the half a steak that I didn't finish and the baked potato.
Okay.
And I did do salads in a jar for a week.
Okay.
And so I ate my salad in a jar with the steak and the baked potato.
Okay. So that was prepped, right? The salad was already prepped.
Yeah,
and you had this, the steak and baked potato from last night. Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you have for dinner tonight?
A friend surprised me and I went to Cheesecake Factory mm-hmm. and I had a Chinese salad
okay.
without some of the stuff on it. And I've been trying the whole food, you know, the hunger thing.
Mm-hmm.
And halfway through it, I noticed I put my fork down and I started talking more.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to pick up my fork again. And my friend is pretty slim. Mm-hmm. And she'd already put her fork down. And we, like I said, we were talking. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? I'm not hungry.
Okay.
And I told her about, she's the only one I've told I'm doing the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it's fine. Just put it in the box and take it home. And if you're hungry later, you can have a little, but chances are you won't be. And that was at 5:30 and I haven't had the urge to eat anything since. I had a bottle of water.
Okay.
But,
what snacks did you have today?
I had an individual packet of Goldfish.
Okay.
An individual packet of pretzels and an individual packet of peanuts and an individual packet of Bugles. I didn't eat my snacks yesterday, so two are from yesterday and two are from today.
Okay. And did you drink your water today?
Yeah.
How much did you have?
I think I'm at around 64 to 70 ounces.
All right. So if you had done your plan yesterday, this is what it would have looked like. Okay. And this is what you ate. Now, you said this was normal breakfast.
Yeah.
That lunch, you knew what you were going to have because you had it left over from last night. Dinner was a surprise, but you ate something healthy. You made a healthy choice, right?
Uh-huh.
And the snacks sound like that they're probably what you normally eat for snack.
I usually have two.
Okay.
A piece of fruit that sits on my desk for a while.
All right. So if you had made the plan yesterday, you would have made something very similar to this.
Yeah.
You would have eaten on plan. You might have overeaten snacks a little bit, but everything else would have been on plan.
Yeah.
So it's not that hard.
I know.
Right.
Well, and I like, yesterday, I put it in because I got to work early and I sat in the parking lot and I put it in my note thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, my note mm-hmm. thing on my phone.
Okay.
And I overate maybe, I had, they surprised us with a cake mm-hmm. when we had asked for fruit, but, mm-hmm. and I had a cupcake.
Okay.
But so you're right.
If that wasn't planned, that would have been an overeat.
Yeah.
So let's talk about tomorrow.
Okay.
You gonna take the rest of that salad for lunch tomorrow?
I think so.
All right. So we'll just go ahead and write that in for lunch.
Okay.
Are you gonna have another sandwich round tomorrow and a fried egg?
Yeah, that'll be breakfast.
All right. And what do you have for dinner tomorrow night?
Probably fish and vegetables and rice.
Oh my gosh, we just did a plan for tomorrow.
We did? Well, yeah, we did.
That was really hard too, wasn't it?
I know, right? I feel like a real banana.
And now I want you to look at the snack line. I left all four in there and I did that on purpose.
Okay.
Because if you plan them now and you only eat two, you're still on plan. But if you overeat your snacks again, guess what? You're still on plan. That's what makes it realistic, and that's what builds commitment to yourself.
Okay, so it is, the reason is to build the fact that I do what I say I'm going to do.
Yes. Now, you don't have to eat all of this. Let's say at dinner time, you don't want the rice. You just want the fish and the vegetables. That's fine.
Okay.
But if you do want some rice,
it has to be on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
See, I thought, I pack everything, I'll pick goldfish and peanuts and put them in the bag the night before. Mm-hmm. So I just have to put the cold stuff in. But then I go to the vending machine. So that's why I thought, just have them there. And then some people say, if you have, nuts, have some cheese, or if it's crackers and then cheese, doesn't matter. Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. If you pack your snacks and you say, I think I'll go to the vending machine, just tell yourself, no, I have snacks that I've already planned.
Yeah.
That's how I commit. That's how I keep my commitment to myself.
Okay.
Okay. Now I want to talk about this, leaving half this food behind that you've been doing.
Yeah.
You think you're not embracing the plan yet. You're listening to your hunger.
Yeah. I feel good.
Yeah. So I just showed you how easy planning is.
Yeah.
You're already paying attention to hunger. You drank 64 ounces of water today. How are you sleeping?
I need to go to sleep a little earlier just because, I get home and there's just a bunch of stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing better. I'm not watching TV at night. It's manageable. It is. I'll tell you though, the best thing about eating half my food is I get to enjoy it twice.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to throw. Oh no, I did. I threw a burrito away. I went to Chipotle on Saturday to get food for my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I got myself a burrito and I ate it in the car. I eat in the car a lot because my mom and my son are pretty skinny and I feel like they judge me a lot.
Oh, so, Sonia.
I know. I know. So I ate half, I cut the burrito in half. I ate half of it and I'm looking at the other half and I'm thinking, last time I ate a whole burrito, I felt sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need to eat the burrito. And then I thought, well, I can't take it home because they'll know I ate a burrito. Mm-hmm. So I threw it away.
Okay.
And I felt kind of good about it.
That's awesome. That's really good. But girl, we need to talk about this eating in the car because people are judging you.
I know. No, it's.
You just stepped in that one with both feet.
Well, I'm doing better because I.
Are you hungry when you're eating in the car?
Sometimes. It's getting better. I used to leave work and eat, go and get fries or something or a snack before I came home to prepare myself for coming home. And I've stopped that. I sat down with a girlfriend and we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm feeling a bit better, but I know a lot of it is self-esteem and just, standing up for myself. And it is hard because my mom, I've been doing 15 minutes on the bicycle and it's well, that's not enough. And well, that's where I am right now.
She gets to have an opinion and she gets to be wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people. What if she's just wrong? It's okay. She's allowed to say what she wants.
Yeah.
You're allowed to decide what you make it mean.
Yeah.
And she could just be wrong.
It's hard, but I someone
it's said not hard. Stop saying it's hard. You said it's hard like four times on this call.
I'm sure I have. I've watched so many calls. I'm just I feel like I'm like a voyeur. And I'm like, okay, what are they doing? They're talking about
I love you. You crack me up.
I gotta look in the book. I don't know. I'm just, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Something to think about. It really
you
does.
Started this call with, I haven't really gotten into this program yet. You're pretty close to doing all four basics.
Yeah.
I'm a month in.
I'm going to get there.
So just keep working. Do you have a planner?
I do. I got the planner and it's right here in front of me. I did find it while you were here.
All right. That's your assignment.
Tomorrow.
Use those planning pages.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, tuck it, write it out and tuck it in your purse if you have to remind yourself what you planned.
It's too big to go in the purse.
No, take the page out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can do that.
And fold it up and put it in your purse so you remember what you planned, or take a picture of it or something.
Okay. Now, yeah. One last question. So I'm in a Zoom group, and some of them have been doing the plan a lot longer. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about the accountability mm-hmm. course. Mm-hmm. Is it worth looking into that, or should I just focus on trying to get through the BS?
I want you to finish No BS first.
Okay.
No BS is not only the basics, but it's a lot of the core teachings that Corinne does.
Okay.
So when she talks about making excuses, or your future self, or who you want to become, you know, when she uses those terms, she explains them really well in the No BS program. Okay. So finish that up first, and then absolutely get into accountability. It's a great program, and get in the group and ask for an accountability partner. You almost had one with this friend of yours that was helping you last night, right?
Yeah, she's been great. She's been really great. So, and it's nice to be able to talk to like a real person that I know about the program, as opposed to, but the people online have been really, really great. So
we're all real, Sonia.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I'm an accountant, so we have so much in common. I'm like, Kathy's an accountant. She understands.
I am.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate everything you guys do. So thank
you're
you.
You're very welcome. All right. Take care. Okay, Sonia, you crack me up. You're fun. All right. I don't know how to say your name. Tommy Jane? You're going to have to teach me, but you're up. Hello.
Can you see me?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I can see your shirt. Oh, now I can see your face.
Okay. So I saw that you didn't have any, when you said that, asked if people had a question.
Uh-huh.
So I'm so nervous. So
well, tell me what your name is first.
Tommy.
Tommy.
Yeah.
It's nice to meet you. I'm Kathy.
You. So I am a January baby.
Okay.
And I feel like my questions aren't very important, or they're just not big.
Well, guess what? You're the only one with your hand raised, so you get to ask anything.
I know. It's so
and funny. Here's the cool thing is that you were brave enough to raise your hand when there's probably people out there that have the same questions that aren't brave enough to ask. So ask away.
Okay. So I have a really good group accountability. Three of us teamed up. And it's been really good. And I noticed that I am a lot better. I think my camera is upside down.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah. Oh, this is better.
Okay.
I do a lot better when I know that they're, we send each other our plans mm-hmm. and our assessments, and we report in with each other. And I do so much better when I know they're not really relying on me, but we're doing this together. Mm-hmm. And I'm done with the No BS.
Okay.
And I'm up to the fifth chapter in the accountability.
Okay.
Module. The three of us are doing it at the same time. Uh-huh. So, but I noticed that So the other day I went to the grocery store and it wasn't on my plan, and I really don't know why I bought ice cream and I ate it, and I did the same with candy.
Okay.
And when I come back and I do a TDL about it, I notice that I haven't gotten proper sleep. And the other thing is I'm just acting on impulse. Okay. I'm not sitting in discomfort. So, I think, and I started to take notes so I could stay on track, and your call, the last call with Sonia, was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like, I think tomorrow my question is going to be, how can I show commitment to myself?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, how can I work on those impulses? You know, when I'm at the grocery store and I think, why do I even get that dumb ice cream?
So do you have a conversation about the ice cream, or do you just get it and bring it home? Is there any kind of conversation going on in your head about it? Well, I didn't plan this, but I'm going to have it anyway. But I didn't plan it. But are you like Robin and the chatter? Did you hear the call with Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you were talking to her, mm-hmm. and so I missed a lot of it.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Pretty fast, whereas I'll think, ooh, I'm out of the ice cream aisle. Maybe I should get some. And then I think, no. And then I think, yeah.
Okay. So here's what's neat. Let's start. We're going to start at the very beginning.
Okay.
You just started in January, right? Before January, you would have hit the ice cream aisle, bought the ice cream, ate it, and not thought a second more about it, right?
True.
Now you're having a conversation about it. It might be on, you know, the back end, but you're starting to question whether or not you needed the ice cream. I didn't plan the ice cream. I wasn't, why did I eat the ice cream? Why did I even buy the ice cream? That's step one.
Okay.
You're not going to jump from not thinking about ice cream to never eating ice cream again without going through the steps, right?
Yeah.
So step one is, maybe I didn't need that ice cream. Or you know what? Corinne talked about planning, and I didn't plan that ice cream. So then step two might be standing on the ice cream aisle and saying, oh, there's some ice cream. I should buy some ice cream. No, wait, I didn't plan ice cream. But gee, I really want ice cream. Maybe I'll plan it tomorrow.
Okay.
And so you begin to create. Are you making plans? Are you creating plans for yourself?
I am. And what was helpful that I got from some of the coaching calls or the mm-hmm. podcast was I was really limited in my plan, and then I would overeat, or mm-hmm. I would have a unplanned mm-hmm. eat, and then I would beat myself up over
right.
it. Now I just, instead of making that commitment, like if I'll have a salad at lunch, and I'm mm-hmm. a person that will eat the same thing mm-hmm. over, or I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Makes it easy, doesn't it?
I'll just put salad and protein. So uh-huh. if I'm giving chicken that night or beef, then I'll switch it. I'll have whichever protein. And then it was helpful too what you said to Sonia about the snacks.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm putting like three snacks on my plan, and even if I don't eat them,
mm-hmm.
then I think, oh, you know, it's okay if I don't eat it, but it was on there. So then I'm feeling a lot better.
Right.
You know, when I assess my
right. Day. So if you're not planning your ice cream or planning your snacks and you're eating them anyway, all you're doing is practicing failing, right? And practicing beating yourself up because you're not sticking to plan.
Yeah.
So again, we're back to step one on planning, and that's creating a realistic plan. Then you're practicing commitment to your plan. And if at the end of the day, you're not losing weight, you can decide to reevaluate the plan and see where you can level up.
Okay.
But the very first step has got to be practicing committing to the plan. Because
okay.
if you go straight to restrictive and you don't stick to plan, you're not learning anything. All you're learning is how to not stick to plan and how to beat yourself up.
Okay.
Just makes sense, right?
Yeah. And certain things, like I've listened to the accountability on the podcast. I read mm-hmm. the workbook, and then I watched the videos.
Wow.
So I have to hear something over and over mm-hmm. and over again before it.
Mm-hmm.
Click. And mm-hmm. so I have noticed now in half a month too, that things are starting to make sense. You know,
mm-hmm.
Somebody advised just do it. And eventually it's going to,
right.
You know, it's going to make sense.
It's going to click. Right.
Yeah.
The neat thing coming up the rest of the month, Monday, you know, we do all these content work on Mondays, right? So her workshop was a week ago Monday. This past week was Q&A. Next week, she's going to coach three people on specific accountability issues.
Oh, cool. This next Monday?
Yes. And then the Monday after that, is success stories. So it's videos that successful accountability tribe members, people who are in successful accountability groups, are going to talk about why they're successful. So that's how the month is laying out for accountability. And it's just so, it gives me goosebumps to think about how cool it is, because she just started doing this format, and it's so neat to see, you know, how she has developed the program. So the member makeover is next week. And then after that is the success story. So you know, it just builds and builds on how to create a great accountability system, being self-accountable and accountable in a group to other people.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah. So for your ice cream, next time you're standing in the aisle, what are you going to do? So go ahead and plan it. Think about it. How are you going to handle it?
I'm going to tell myself, put it on the plan for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then probably what will happen is tomorrow will come, and then I'll be over the craving.
Yeah. So but if it's on the plan, you can decide, right? Yeah. So what are you going to do if that chatter keeps happening? But we're in the freezer now. You're in the cart now. We could just go ahead and have a little bit. What are you going to do when all that happens?
Think about this phone call. I try to keep going back and saying, you know, I am important, and this mm-hmm. commitment is important. I'm doing this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I can have as much ice cream as I want, really, but what do I want more? So those are type of questions that I'm trying to ask myself. What do I want more?
Right. That's exactly how you have that conversation. That's good. That's good work. You're okay. Doing all right, aren't you? You're doing all right. Tell me where you're from in East Tennessee.
Oh, actually, this is a friend of mine. A shirt that my friend, who is a police officer, it's for the Team East Tennessee, the Police Unity Tour.
Okay. So you're not from East Tennessee then?
No. For his fundraising for the ride where they honor the police officers, these shirts are part of his money for his trip. But I live in Washington State.
Oh wow,
yeah,
that's far away from East Tennessee. All right, you ready? You ready for ice cream now, right?
Yes.
And realistic plans. All right. Anything else?
No. I adore you. So I'm right now.
That was actually a great question. I'm glad you asked it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
You.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right. One more person. Jennifer, you are up. Hello. Uh-oh, I can't hear you. I have unmuted you on my end. Check and see if you can unmute yourself. Uh-oh. You turned off your video. Are you coming back, Jennifer? Jennifer, I'm going to take you back down to attendee and call you back up. And let's see if that helps, okay? So I need you to raise your hand again. Let's try again. Oh, now you're in here twice.
Okay. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. It's all good.
All right.
Okay. So my question's a little different. So I
January baby also, but I started, found you guys in November, been listening and have lost weight, like really happy. Everything's going really, really well. Got the basics. Everything's good. So the big thing is, and I posted and asked coaches, and I don't know that I quite, I don't know, articulated it well.
Okay.
Still hungry a lot, like still the hunger scale, I guess. So like one of the big things I loved about everything that you guys talked about was the hunger scale, like the idea of stopping when you're satisfied and only eating when you're hungry. And so I love all of that, but it still seems like I'm not getting it. Like I'm losing weight. So everything's going good, but I feel like I shouldn't be hungry as much as I am. And I know in all these calls, you're like, okay, are you getting lots of fats? And like, you know, are you getting the good fats to make sure it's in, but it's not like a consistent, like I'll, like yesterday I ate the same thing as I ate today. And yet today I was really hungry, like an hour after dinner. And I felt like I ate the same quantity. So honestly, every time I go to write a meal or eat a meal, I'll put, I think it's a 1, 2, or 3. I'll know in a couple hours, like every time. I don't really know if I've gotten there or not, you know, like it's a, and I guess that's expected because I've been doing this now for maybe 3 months. Like,
yeah, is it, your hunger scale. Yeah. Your hunger is going to ebb and flow. Okay. It's going to, it could be different every day based on activity or sleep or even water. It could be, hormones. You know, your hunger can change on the daily. All right. Sometimes it'll seem nice and consistent, and sometimes it's just not going to. So
in the moment, listening to my body versus waiting 2 to 3 hours to know if I actually hit it or not?
I would listen in the moment and then just be vigilant. And remember this, okay? Emotional hunger, you know what emotional hunger is?
Yeah, like
it's like a craving or an urge to eat. It's going to come.
Mine's usually pain in my stomach. So usually when I'm hungry, it's a discomfort in my stomach. Which
okay, so that's physical hunger.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Now, emotional hunger is like, oh my God, I'm stressed. I need a candy bar. Okay.
Yeah, I've been able to.
That comes on really fast.
Yeah.
Okay. Emotional hunger comes on fast.
Okay.
Physical hunger comes on kind of slow and it kind of eases in and it comes, you know, it's kind of like a wave. It'll ease on up to, you know, might be -2 and then you can hang there for a minute. It goes back to -1. You know, it's time to eat when it hits -2 and -3 and stays. Okay. But I can go in the mornings. A lot of times I can go until like 10 o'clock and kind of cruise between 0 and -2. You know, a lot of people can go longer than that. It's really interesting to me to watch my body do that. But like I said, the other thing is depending on what you eat, your body can blow through the food faster. You know, like we tell you to eat fats because they keep you fuller longer. But if you eat, I don't know, a piece of toast and a banana for breakfast, you're going to be hungry in an hour. Okay.
Right.
So, watch for those things, but it's perfectly normal for your hunger to be a little bit different each day.
Yeah. So I guess the concern that I have is that I have been successful and maybe it's like just a worry thing, but, before when I've lost weight, I was hungry a lot, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, when am I going to get tired of being hungry? Like, is that going to happen? I'm just going to, just be like, oh, you know, F it. I don't want to be hungry anymore. You know?
Well, how far are you going between meals? Are you going 3 or 4 hours?
No, it depends. Like I know that, if I don't get hungry 3 or 4 hours, then I know I did well, but sometimes it's just longer. Like, but then I'll just have a snack in between. So like I eat, you know, lunch around noon and then I won't eat dinner till 6 or 6:30 with my family. So then I have to have a snack in between to be able to make it the 6 hours, you know, but I know on my way home from work at 3:30 or 4, I'm going to have a snack, like some nuts and that makes me last until dinner, you know, but so dinner will be the trick.
Yeah. So what's wrong with that?
Nothing. It's just that I'm hungry a lot. You know, I'm hungry. And then tonight,
you're hungry more often than you're used to because you're allowing yourself to get hungry. Is that what you're telling me? Or are you getting hungry and staying hungry?
Getting hungry and staying hungry. And that's one that I've kind of, so listening to y'all, I read the obesity code. So then I experimented with fasting and you talk a lot about like, and Corinne about like, well, experience the hunger and that means it's feasting on your butt, you know, like it's all that kind of stuff. And so I've been experimenting with it a lot. And kind of trying it out. And like you guys talk about the waves of hunger. So I never really fasted very well until I read the obesity code and started listening to y'all. And I'm like, oh, wow, I can do this. Like, I don't get sick like I thought I would. You know, I can go 24 hours or whatever. I did that just to try it, but I haven't, you know, I don't do it all the time. Anyway, and so I guess mornings, you know, so many people on this don't eat breakfast. And I've never been a not eat breakfast, but yeah. It works sometimes. And so sometimes I don't eat breakfast and it's great. And I'll go eat, actually exercise at lunch at like 11 o'clock and I'll have so much energy and it feels awesome. And then I'll go eat lunch and I feel good. Sometimes I'm dying, you know? And So I kind of plan for both. I guess I just don't know if that's sustainable, like allowing that hunger sometimes and playing with it. Is it, I just got to stay patient with it maybe because it's still only been a few months and that's where I got to go with it. I don't know.
Probably. So. You probably just have to find your groove. I can tell you, I do bulletproof coffee and breakfast. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't really get much. I don't let myself go much past about a -3 on the hunger scale.
Okay.
I mean, I just stay right there.
And I don't notice the difference. The only way that I know if I'm at a -2 versus a -4 is I've been hungry longer. But like it's all pain in my stomach. Like it never goes beyond that. It's always just like my stomach hurts and it's growling and it's talking. I don't know.
You probably have other hunger cues that you haven't identified yet.
Okay.
Okay.
And I've read that the scale that is in the workbook is awesome. Like with all the different levels, you know, but
yeah. I mean, if you have pain in your stomach, I wonder if you're past -2.
Maybe, but you know, this is like right now I'm experiencing the pain in my stomach that feels like I'm hungry, but I ate like a vegetable soup for dinner. And then an hour later I was still hungry. So I had like peanut butter with one of those Kodiak pancakes. And like still,
okay. Still, so vegetable soup, soup probably went right through you real quick, right?
Oh yeah. That was just because my son said he wanted it and he didn't want it. So I'm just eating it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not normally a choice I would make for myself. So.
Right. You probably should have had a little protein in that and a little bit of maybe a little cheese or something. Yeah.
So that's why I had the leftover Kodiak and peanut butter. But still 30 minutes later, you know, still got this discomfort. And anyway, I guess I'm still learning. I guess that's the thing. Just keep being patient with it and keep trying to figure it out. It's just, it's been months and I feel like I still have all this hunger, you know, often.
You know, the other thing.
Also, it's in my head a little bit. It's not always. So.
All right. How much weight are you losing each week?
I think on the happy scale, it's like 3 to 4 pounds.
Okay. Why don't you, I mean, I don't often suggest this, but for the next few days, add 3 or 4 bites to each meal.
Okay.
A lot of times we tell people to find their +2 to make sure they're hitting +2 to leave 3 or 4 bites.
Right.
If you're losing 3 or 4 pounds a week, why don't you try adding 3 or 4 bites and see if that helps you with your satiety? What's that word?
Yes. Satiety. Yeah. I know what you mean. S-A-T-I-E-T-Y.
Yeah. That word. It rolls right off Corinne and satiety just doesn't sound right.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Yeah.
See if that helps your sustainability with that positive side.
And like I said, the thing is like yesterday I didn't feel hungry much at all. And the day it's like I'm battling it. So yesterday I didn't need 3 or 4 bites, but then today I do. So it's like this constant kind of battle that I wish I would figure it out in the moment so I didn't have to wait 3 to 4 hours to know whether or not I accomplished it. So
stop calling it a battle.
Okay.
All right. Just start calling it awareness and being in tune with what your body needs. Yesterday you probably didn't need the extra 3 bites, but today you might have.
Right.
You know, that could absolutely change each day depending on what's going on in your life, how much water you've had.
Figure out how to recognize it.
That's what's sustainable
with it. Yeah.
Because being in tune with what your body needs is exactly what you want to be for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah. It makes total sense. Yeah. That's what I love. Yeah. For sure.
But being hungry all the time, you're going to get tired of that before too long.
Yes. That's my concern.
Yeah. So make sure you're eating your fats, like you said, and and make sure you're actually getting to +2 on the hunger scale.
And that is just by adding a few more and seeing how I feel. Like, I guess, and that's it too. Maybe I haven't wanted to experiment as much. I've experimented with fasting, but I haven't really experimented with like, what does a +4 or a +5 feel? Like that wasn't really part of the hunger scale challenge, you know? And so I haven't done that. So.
But you know, I said this on a podcast one time, and I think I blew Corinne's mind. You have to blow past +2 to find it.
I remember you saying that.
You really have to. You have to hit +3 or +4 to realize that you're past +2.
Right. That talk she has about, you know, we're going to go do yoga, or we're going to go do something, and you're not going to like it, like downward dog or whatever, you know, and it's going to feel miserable. I'm like, I haven't felt that. Like, I haven't. And so it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I do maybe just need to try that a little bit with the 3 or 4 extra bites, and that'll help me understand better to be sure that I'm hitting the plus two.
Right.
And if you might just be hitting zero or one, you know.
Right.
But it works a lot. It works right. often. So yeah.
And if you're losing 3 or 4 pounds a week, you're probably go to losing about a pound and a half or two a week. And that's just fine. Right. If you're, yeah. that's more sustainable because you're not hungry.
It's not as
all
fun
time.
Though, you know, to get over it. Won't be
I know it's nice. Everybody wants to lose weight fast, but
yeah.
you just told me being hungry all the time is not something you want to do the rest of your life.
Right. No, definitely not.
Right. So okay. you'll get there. Right. Okay. Good deal.
Thank you. All right.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. All right, I see Mary's here, so I'm going to take one more. We're going to run a little bit over, so we'll be quick here, Mary. I think she's been waiting on me. Oh, it's Mary.
Hi.
I thought it was another Mary. No, hi.
This is not even this is non PNP related, but I wanted you to know I found a job.
So congratulations!
Thank you very much. I'm very excited and very pleased.
What are you going to be doing?
I work for a financial planner, and mm-hmm. I handle their health and group health insurance and life insurance.
And how do you feel about getting out of the house and going to work every day? And
well, it feels good. It really yeah. does. I'm not eating at all during the day, but I haven't planned for the past 2 days. I just need to get into my groove.
Mm-hmm.
I've hit the back door and went straight to my bedroom and got my PJs on every night. So it's wearing me out, but I'm really pleased.
Well, good. Make a plan tomorrow.
I will.
You can, how long does it take to make a plan?
2 minutes.
Right.
I will.
I'm very happy for you.
Thank you very much.
You look, it's so good to see you smiling so big.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Bye.
All right, let's see what's in this Q&A real quick. Beth wants to know what are thoughts on weighing every day as opposed to once a week? Your choice, okay? If you're weighing every day and overanalyzing why the scale went up or went down, then that's probably not the thing for you to do because Corinne told me once, sometimes you're just weighing what's in your colon. Weighing every week is going to give you a better picture of how you are doing as far as, you know, planning and eating and whatnot. So it's kind of up to you. What do you make the weight mean and how well do you handle it? Kathy, I'm getting a group to go to Rome, Pompeii, Athens, the Greek islands, July 2020. I'm a teacher and retiring 2020 is bucket list for me, trip for me. You should come, Grandma Shark. Oh my gosh. Yes, I should definitely come. I would love to see all those things. Laura, what does being on plan mean, 100% or less? If you have created a plan and you have followed that plan to the letter, you are on plan. If you have created a plan and you have, I'll give you an example. Last night, I didn't have time to cook dinner. Actually, I had time. I just didn't want to cook dinner at 7:30 at night. So instead of cooking, I took the casserole out that I had planned to heat up on Thursday and had that instead. I consider that on plan because I didn't go to McDonald's. Okay. So I traded Monday night's dinner for Thursday's, and it wasn't exactly what I wrote down, but it was still something that I had planned for later in the week. So that's not really 100%. But it's still a good decision. So I hope that answers your question. Anonymous, I just want a graze. How do I distract myself away from eating when I'm bored? Find out why you're eating when you're bored. What else could you be doing? Why are you bored? Why do you want a graze? Okay. Eating doesn't solve boredom, right? Find something to do. Read a book. Watch TV. But eating doesn't solve emotions. It doesn't give you comfort. It doesn't keep you company. It doesn't do any of that stuff. If you want to give some more information, I would post that and ask coaches. You know, give us a really good specific circumstance of when, you know, time of when you eat when you're bored. and let us coach you there. All right, you guys, I'm out. Have a great rest of the evening, and I will see you soon. Bye.